If I can have everyone's attention, we're going to try and get started. I know not entirely fair because I left some of I kept you late last time, but nonetheless, I think I'm already 5 minutes late, right? Yeah, 10:30. Okay, so what we're going to cover, or what we're going to try and cover in this one, is much shorter than the last one. It was, what's it called? If you have the URL from the last one, it's all one big slideshow, so you already have it. If you were not here last time, you can get the slides for last one and this one with this QR code or with the link that's on the bottom of the page, icj.live/att2024. And with that, so what I'm going to talk about, what we're going to talk about in this one, and to be honest, when I suggested this one, is Rabbi Gold in the room? No. Okay. When I suggested at the in November or something, I went to Rabbi Gold and I said, I know I presented last year on AI, but things have changed. I think I should probably do another presentation. And he's like, yeah, sure, give me some proposals. So I gave him two proposals that I thought were going to be, practical. The ways to use AI to prepare outside the classroom, ways to use AI in the classroom, and then just because it was new and fun, I was like, or I could teach people how to train their own GPT because, like, it's cool and fun. And so he said, yeah, sure, that sounds great. Do that one. Who cares about being practical? I said, okay. But what's interesting is that since November, things have changed. And now, as I was preparing for this, and I realized that, like, yeah, in November this was fun but useless. Now, this is really powerful and very practical for our classrooms, especially if we have students who are using technology. So I'm going to talk briefly about why you would train your own AI, and what training means. And then we're going to look at three different places where you can train an AI, and look at examples and show you the process. Okay? All right. So why would you train your own AI? So I listed off a few reasons here. One is because it's cool, of course, because, like, you can say, this is mine, right? And you'll see with some of the samples, with some of the demos I did, clearly that was on my mind because it was just too much fun. But the practical reasons are you can teach it new material, you can give it a particular point of view, you can have it use a particular approach in the way that it interacts with its clients, right? And you can place limits on its behavior, and to some degree you can limit hallucinations. Now I want to be clear, none of this, because of what generative AI is, none of this is 100% perfect. So if you're really, really nervous about what your students might discover, you need to know that this is not without some risk, right? The risk is mitigated. I don't want to sound too dramatically whatever, but I also want to be really clear here. This is not like, you know, if your student is sitting in a room where everything that they have has been gone over by somebody to make sure it's appropriate, this is not the tool to give them, right? If they have some exposure anyway, right, and, you know, you use filters to prevent, you know, some of the worst things from happening, then this is a reasonable thing to give them as well. This is no more dangerous than giving them filtered internet in your school, right? If you're comfortable giving them filtered internet in your school, this is fine. But if you're not comfortable with that, or if you shouldn't be comfortable with that for whatever reasons, then, you know, consider. Yes?
If you use like a video or something, is there any way that the AI can, like, edit things? Like, because there's some videos that I'd like to show where there's not enough clothing.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And things, is there, like, can I put in a filter on AI where it will take those things out, or do I have to just still do it?
I don't know if one there. The only one I know that does anything like that is the one I mentioned at the end of the last session that's used for filtering, and I don't know if it can, like, do that to a specific video.
Okay.
To, I'd have to look. You might take a look at the, there's an AI for that, the website I linked at the very beginning of the last session to search through.
Cause the ATT one.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I got that. Thank
okay.
You.
Okay. Okay, so now let's talk about the different types of training. To do that, you sort of need to know a little bit about what a large language model is. So, classically, which is to say a year ago, there were two ways to train a large language model. One was called fine-tuning, and one was called one-shot or few shots. And I'm going to describe each of those, and then we'll talk about the third one. Fine-tuning was, and still exists, it requires access to the underlying model, the underlying AI model, and it really means you're changing the AI model. You can do this but it requires some expertise in AI generally. It's not something that most of us, including myself, are apt to do. Because you need to really know how AIs are trained, and it's basically additional training to the AI in a very fundamental way. One shot or a few shots was the only way that was available until fairly recently, and that was basically you could create a series of prompts that would help instruct it what to do and would guide it. And the problem is that was not fundamentally part of the AI, and so over time, you know, as you got further and further away from those prompts, the AI tends to forget those things, and that's a good thing, but nonetheless annoying in our particular situation. So those were the only two things that were available. That second one is still useful to some degree, and we'll talk about that. But what has become available in the last 6 months or so is that you can now add data sets, specific data sets, to the AI, give it a particular text or series of texts, and have it use that to inform its questions. And that's really powerful because you can limit its behavior really powerfully in terms of focusing it on a particular thing. It's not going to forget that thing but it doesn't require a lot of technical knowledge. Now, for the meantime, and this will change by next year, I'm almost certain, for the meantime, those data sets are limited in size. So, I think I mentioned at the last year that one of the things I really want to do is train an AI to answer questions based entirely on the Safaria database. That is still not possible with using data sets. It's just too big. But some more limited things like teaching it all of Derech Hashem, for example, is possible. Maybe even all of Orach HaShulchan in English. We'll see if that works. So some more limited data sets are certainly possible. The truth is it is now easier to give it larger access, even some of that fine tuning. So there are some technical ways that I could theoretically do the Safaria thing, but I'm holding out to make it easy, rather than having to go back and learn a lot of the stuff I did in college. Okay. So moving on. We're going to look at, three particular places, to do, training. Because I think they are particularly relevant and useful for schools. The first one is called School AI. The second one is called PO. And the last one is, of course, called ChatGPT. ChatGPT is the only one of the three that costs money from the get-go. School AI has some free stuff. PO has some free stuff. They both have paid tiers as well. But you can do all of what we're going to do in those two for free. ChatGPT, in order to do it, you need to pay. Now, there are other places to train things. So, for example, GPT, OpenAI, does give you access to the large language model. You can do some fine-tuning using their APIs if you want, but we're not going to talk about that today. So there you go. Okay, so first let's talk about school AI. School AI has three basic types of custom AIs. They have some that are pre-made. They've made some custom AIs, and we're going to look at those in just a minute. They have some that are partially made, which means to say it's sort of a template. So all you need to do is like give it like one piece of information. So, for example, if you want your students to talk to a historical figure, you can just tell it the name of the historical figure, and there you go, you're done. And then there are others that you can create more or less from scratch, give it all sorts of parameters, and we're going to look at all three of those. One of the interesting things about school AI is that it's designed for schools and for teachers, which means that when you share the AI with your students, you get to see what they do with that AI. You can see everything that they interact, all of their interaction. So here are four sample AIs, and I would like each of you, if you have some device handy, pick one. I'll describe each of them. The SAT Math is a math tutor, specifically for SATs. One is talking to George Washington, the historical figure. One is talking to Maimonides, the historical figure. And one is set up to explain passages of Talmud. Pick one. I don't care which one. You can use the QR code, or you can type in that URL and replace the green letters with one of those four codes. I'm just going to give you, three or four minutes to do that. And then I'll show you what goes on from there. Do you have to join? I don't think so. I think you just have to put in your name.
You can put a nickname.
Yeah, you don't need to put your real name. Just put in a fake name.
I scan the QR code if I haven't done it before?
Just with your camera?
Okay, that's it.
Yeah, the camera. Okay. It should find it.
Okay.
So just put in the URL. Put in the code.
How do you make it work for me? Because I want it to work for me.
QR codes are just if it makes it easier. If it's not easier, then just use the URL.
So you created these have two AIs?
I did not create the SAT math one. That one they created. I think I created the other three, but within their tools. So these are all AIs. The SAT math one was one that they created themselves, although it belongs to me now. Like, this is a, like, I'll show you what that means in a minute. The other three I created using their tools.
So, I used the ChatGPT, the free version.
Right.
And I always assumed that it was like a search in the sense that I put a query, and then the query belongs to the cloud, right? But when you're saying that with ChatGPT, all the queries I have done with ChatGPT could form
within a thread, you know. So within one thread, it remembers what's in that thread, and that's why threads are important. And if you have ChatGPT Plus, you can also give it now instructions that are globally true. But as within the thread, as things go further down, it will forget or put less emphasis on stuff that's earlier. So it might not be apparent, but it does affect the. And if it's right, like if it's just, it knows the context. So if I say like, so for example, if I say, you know, give me a picture of an elephant in the water, and then it creates that picture, and then I say, okay, now in the air, it will know that I mean give me a picture of an elephant in the air, right? Yeah.
for these AI, like, did you put any data in?
I'm going to show you exactly how to create these.
No, I'm wondering how, like, in terms of those things, am I on?
No, oh, no, there's no data set involved in any of these. School AI doesn't let you do any data sets. It's just prompting.
Where is it pulling the information from?
Where in its own data set, yeah, from the world.
Like right. From anywhere on the internet.
From anywhere, yeah.
So you don't know what Ashkafa is behind it.
That's right. That's right. No, that's right. Yeah. Now you can limit, I'll show you, you can limit that to some degree. Right.
No, I have a market.
All right. So now, all right.
I have a question.
I'm listening.
It gives you the option to speak. You can speak back to it. I'm not doing it, but I see it. It's like when I play around with it, it says
okay.
Speak. Is that just instinct? Like if I speak, it will dictate, it will type down what I say? Or can I ask it, like, again, I'm thinking about Hebrew Kriya potential, right? So it's the kind of thing where if I pronounce things.
Yeah, so I think I think I emailed you about this. So the yeah, no, it's no different. They're all. I mean, it does a really good job of typing what you say, but it's not actually hearing what you say. There's levels. There's different apps that are involved in each of them. Okay. In OpenAI, I think Whisper is the dictation app. But so depending on the particular setup, you'd have a dictation app that's interpreting your speech and trying, and one of the interesting things is it's trying to make sense of it, so even if you make a mistake, it might get it right. And then ChatGPT is actually only seeing the text. Even though it doesn't look that way, right on your phone, you can have a conversation, you can have a really beautiful conversation in Hebrew with ChatGPT on your phone, and it told me in Hebrew that no, it doesn't actually hear me, it's, you know, reading the text. All right. So first of all, so here are my, so I'm now logged in as a teacher here, which just means that I created these and you've, whatever. So I'm just going to start with this one because why not? Because it's on the top. So here are all the different people who have interacted with this one. So if you take a look here, just by looking at right here, I see all the people who have interacted with it. And, you know, if they're currently interacting with it. And just the AI gives me some quick feedback on how well they're doing here. So, you know, Alan is just getting started. He needs some help, right? But then if I click on a particular person, I can see all of what they've done. So what this means is that this is something potentially that I can assign a student or students as homework and I can hold them accountable, right? I want you to practice with the AI working on, you know, some topic in math on the SAT tutor. And then I have access to exactly what they've done or haven't done, right?
The AI gives you a summary of everything.
Right, right. What?
I can't see from here. Is it timestamped? Like, if I wanted to assign it and it needs to be done by this time, I
can see it. I think session started at the beginning of the session. Yeah, it's a timestamp.
The beginning and the last update.
Right, right. So I don't know if you could do minute by minute, but you see when they did it, right? Okay, so that's the SAT one. What? I'm sorry? Yeah, there's no reason why not. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right, now, let's see if anyone did anything interesting here. All right. All right. Let's see what we got here. Yeah? Okay. What do you think, Rabbi Kurtz? How well did it do?
get a lot of stuff about. But to actually, you know, not analyze
stuff. Right, it'll give you a structure, but not the, right. Yeah. Okay. But
I asked
you. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. It really depends on how specific the questions are, but my impression is that it is aware of the material pretty clearly and understands the material, and you can also, yeah. Yes, sir.
That's kind of interesting that inside the math tutoring, I asked, can we talk about music instead? And it was like, sure!
Good.
About music theory, maybe?
Good.
My tutor is easily distracted.
Good. So, one second. I am so glad you did that. I'm so glad you did that, because now I can show you what happens. This is great. So, you're in the math one, right? And you're Alan. If you keep going in that way, it will eventually stay here because I did it. That, you know, you're off topic, but in fact, let's see if I still have one from when I did that. Not in this one, but it will. But also, like I can see what you did, right? So, right. So I see that you asked about music. I also see that, like before you did that, you did spend, you know, 10 minutes actually talking about math. So maybe the AI is just giving you a break, and you know, but it does point. It does say, like, you know, this is engaging well with calculus. When if they're off topic, it does say, which is fascinating, right? Okay, so how do you make one of these, right? Yeah. No, you can have your student. But the advantage to your doing it is just that if you do it, you can see what the person who created it gets to see anybody who interacts with it, right? Because so if they create it, you don't really see what they do.
Can you have them, like, the same way that you took over, like, the SAT bot, can you, like, take over their AI?
I don't think so.
Or duplicate it at all?
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. So let's just go to the homepage so you sort of see. So right up here at the top, there's three boxes. Sidekick is one of their standard pre-made AIs, which is just sort of like an AI that sort of helps students in a general sense, right? But there's a bunch of other pre-made AIs that you can take a look at. In all of these cases, if you use one of them, it's making a duplicate for you and putting it in your set of AIs so that when you send out the URL, like the QR code, when students join using that QR code, they're joining your copy of that so you can see them. So if somebody else decides to use one of my, like the Maimonides one that I made and made public, I'm not, like, if they use, they're going to get a different QR code, it's going to go to a different place, I'm not going to see that, right? Which is as it should be, right? The only people who I'm going to see are the ones who are opening it directly from my QR code, right? Yeah.
Certain things that a teacher might feel like it's inappropriate.
So I'm going to show you the process right now of making it. Yeah. So it's not 100%, but so here's how you create a. So you can. So one second. I'm sorry. Let me go back a step. So you can create a variation of any of these spaces. But we're going to start from scratch, right? So I'm going to give it a title. Let's call it teaching. And I'm going to give it a prompt. Here's a prompt. Help students design. Would help if I could type. Design educational. How about design lesson plans that are exciting. Okay. Optional details. I can create a cover image. But I don't actually have to draw it, I can just go generate with AI, and it will create the cover image for me. That is true, by the way, of all of these fields here. I can, having just given it this one prompt, I can say, generate all fields, and it will fill in all of the rest of the fields. So all I really have to do is give it that prompt, and that's it. Now, I can, in this prompt, be particularly detailed, right? And I can also, so there you go, see, it now filled in all of these things. So the next time I look at this, I won't even remember that I created it because I'm like, I didn't write that. That actually happened to me. Okay. I can add a bunch of different details to this prompt. So I can say things like, you know, don't let the students get off on a different topic. And all kinds of things like that. Now, before I actually share it with my students, I can preview it. So I can go over here and I can start the preview. And, all right. So we're going to focus on, I don't know, something none of us know anything about. How about calculus at the graduate level? I don't know.
Vectors.
Thank you. Vectors. Not sure, but, you know. Okay. When I'm convinced that it works, all I have to do is press publish, save and launch, and it creates a QR code for that one and puts it in my list of spaces. And it's clearly true. The amount of flexibility in terms of like how limiting I can be here is not as good as some of the other things we're going to look at later. The strength here is, it's quick to set up, and you can see everything. So you can tell your students, I'm going to look at what you write. And that's also a way of keeping them accountable and limiting them. And maybe that's a better way of doing it than, that's up to you to decide, right? Yes?
Can I feed it in text? Or a chapter of a text?
So, no, not on this one. The other two, yes.
Oh.
Okay?
Right? A chapter of a text.
Right? This one does not have the... This is a much more limited tool. Okay? Yeah?
I have a weird question. So, let's say that I've read an entire series of books that I like, and I'm trying to find a particular thing that I know is in that series somewhere, but I don't know where. Can I tell it? Can I basically make it?
So, have you tried Google searching before?
Yes, I've tried Google.
Okay. So,
I can't find the app.
Do you have the text?
I have the text.
Do you have the... What?
I want
so the first trick is if you can get an online version of the text, searching it is easy in lots of different ways.
Okay, yeah. But let's say they're newer books. Like I've read an entire series, but it's newer. Can anything connect to that, or is that
the newer books are all available as text, as online text?
Okay, but I would have to be the one to copy them, paste it.
No. You don't have to copy and paste it. You just have to have it available. Talk to me. We'll talk. Okay, moving on. Okay. Poe. Yeah.
In space, you don't define the dangers that it uses.
That's right. That's right. We're going to talk. I'm going to show you some right now that do. Okay. I'm going to. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So the next place we're going to look at. That's actually not what I wanted to do. The next place we're going to look at is called Poe. Poe has the advantage of you can give it a database, but a limited database, as we will see. But you can't see what other people's interaction, right? So pro and con, right? So here are some samples. The first one, I'm not sure it's working because I gave it the whole Aruch HaShulchan, and it's taken a week, and it still hasn't fully processed it. So we'll see. Which, you know, makes sense. It's taking it a week. If it takes it 2 weeks to learn the Aruch HaShulchan, like, it's doing well, right? Okay, we'll see what happens. The second one is Derech Hashem in English, which took it just a second, which probably means, like me, it doesn't really understand what it's reading, but okay. The third one, We the Robots, has the text of the Constitution, the full text of the Constitution. And the fourth one doesn't have a set database, but it has some information about general philosophy. So take a look at those. These are all AIs that I created. Take a look at those. Take a look at one of them, whichever one you want, right? I think they should all be accessible at this point. And we'll take a look at the process of creating these in just a moment. But I'm just warning you, I am going to shut off public event. There's no way, like the others, the first ones, there was a URL. If you don't have that URL, you can't access them. These, if they're public, they're public to everybody. So this afternoon, I'm turning these off. So if you want to play with it now, because I'm not taking responsibility for Derech Hashem and English AI out there. I might leave Philosophy 101 open, but not the others.
Are you going to explain how you use this new classroom?
More or less the same way as the previous one, just this one you have a way of giving it a very specific data set. So you can get it to ask more, students can really delve into it a little bit more.
Do you think we need a demo to ask? Does that happen?
You shouldn't. If you're opening it on the, that could be. I've been using it on a computer, so could be. Yeah. Yeah. Try it. See what you think. So, everyone have the URLs? Let me just show you something. I'm not going to answer you directly. I'm going to show you something.
This is actually really good.
Can you click on one just because I don't have space right now to download the app?
Yeah, give me a second. Can you see this? What's up there? Can you read that?
Yeah, not really. As we gather it.
It knows the Constitution very well.
Yeah, it does, right?
Can you use this as your lawyer?
Okay, what do you think of that Tartara? No, I'm being serious. I'm asking you an honest question.
I think it's all done.
Okay, so ChatGPT wrote that. Like, all I said to it was, here's my prompt, right? You are a famous Orthodox rabbi giving a talk at an educational conference for Jewish teachers. Your topic is artificial intelligence and its use in the classroom. Give a shard to our Torah that encourages people to use AI, and I type with a typo besides, for the betterment of their students. Right? So there are caveats. There's definitely times where, and that Maimonides, but there were definitely things that it said that I wouldn't necessarily feel comfortable with. Right? But there are definitely things that it does that are really powerful and very accurate. When it's given a Gemara text and it produces an outline of that text, the outline, I have yet to see it. Like, if you ask it for an outline of a text, I have yet to see it do anything that I felt objectionable. If you're giving it a very, you know, and so to the degree that you can constrain it, I'm not sure I would ask it, you know, Philosophy 101, right? Like, certainly not without a lot more constraints, but you know, explain to me this paragraph in the Gemara. Yeah. Or these psukim. I mentioned, I don't know if you were here the first session, you don't have to answer that question. I taught, you know, if I want students to practice understanding Tanakh, I had ChatGPT, I didn't actually use this in my class, I was just playing. I had ChatGPT talking to me in Biblical Hebrew. Right? So, like, That would be a fun way. Like, there's no hashkafa there. That would be a fun way to get students to practice understanding, right, Tanakh. Right. So, like, so, yeah. Okay, go ahead.
The last one. You talked about using the images to feed in descriptions from a book, right, to help create versions of an image in terms of using the text to have students interact, have the AI personify a character from a text. And these things do that, like this is the text that I've talked.
I shied away from doing that. Like, I could have told it, pretend you're Rav Moshe Chaim Luzzatto and answer questions, right? And I tried not to do that. I felt like I was on the edge. And anyone who knows me knows I'm on the edge, but I wanted to try not to fall off that edge.
Yeah, I can imagine me like being a Frankenstein's monster and having...
Right, no, but yeah, you can certainly do that. Yeah, absolutely. And that's how all of those historical bots essentially work. Right, the one that was George Washington, right? Okay.
Make one from this. Like this would be one tool.
Anyone who worked with one of these bots have any questions or I'm going to show you how to do it in just a second, but yeah. So this one, you get no feedback on what other people are doing with your that, and that's the advantage to the other one. You only see if you make it public when other people use it, you don't see what they're doing. So that's in terms of a classroom, that's the disadvantage here. It's like, giving your students a tool like ChatGPT, but maybe a little bit more refined. You're not, like, unless they print it out and hand it to you, you're not going to know what conversation they had with it.
They're set up on like a school.
Yeah.
Maybe like it's your account.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, right. You could do that. All right. Has this one started working yet? Or is it still, okay. That's what I thought. So it's still learning that. Okay. All right.
MCL over there, like, why doesn't he say I'm Ramchal?
Why doesn't he say he's Ramchal?
Yeah.
Because I didn't want to burn in hell.
I understand. you intentionally...
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I wanted to be really clear that that's not who it was. I really do feel like I'm, like, standing on the precipice and, I had the Aruch HaShulchan one. Pretend he's the rabbi's assistant, because, like, whatever. Now, I do want to point out one of the interesting things about this one is when you set it up, you can set it up so it gives citations. So these little are citations are directly into the text that you gave it. So now let me show you.
Can you show us how to create this?
Yeah, that's what we're going to do right now. So right here. In Po, there's create bot. And here you go. Now, you actually have to create your own picture here. It doesn't create the picture for you. And you give it a name. We're going to give it a random name. And the interesting thing, and I can't type, but, hey. The interesting thing about... Po is that it has access to a lot of different underlying AI models, and each of them have different capabilities. But we're going to pick ChatGPT. And when we do, one of the things that happens is that we now have this opportunity to give it a knowledge base. So we go add knowledge source, and then we can put in whatever files we want. Now, some of you may not know this, but... the Safaria database is available for download for free, and it includes texts that are organized by folder. So I can just go in here and pick. I don't know. All right, let's make a graph. Sure, why not? The merge text is the complete text, and depending on how large the text is, it'll take a moment to.
So if you put in Hebrew text, do you interact with it in English? Would yes.
Yeah.
It
understands
the Hebrew?
It understands the Hebrew, yeah. At least that's my impression. Yeah. ChatGPT certainly does. What?
Is there a way to make it communicate?
I haven't tried it on Poe. In ChatGPT, it'll do. If you start in Hebrew, it will respond in Hebrew. And it'll go back and forth with you. It'll go back and forth with you really easily. Okay, so that's the text. So now I'm going to give it a prompt. You are a scholar helping people strive for greatness. All right. And then, because I have the images open over here, I'll just show you how to do that. Like with the other ones, when I actually was doing it myself before, I took like an image of that person and then made a modern version, like a robot version, because I didn't want to use the actual image of the person because it just felt wrong. So we're going to try and use our.
Now you can.
Yeah. All right, so there's our bot. So then down below here in the advanced stuff, I can decide if I'm making the bot publicly accessible. I can create a custom temperature. Now, for those of you who remember from 2 hours ago, a temperature is a description of how random, how much it's going to hallucinate, how creative it is. So if I'm concerned about that, I would keep it at a fairly low number. If I wanted to be really creative, I would give it a larger number. So the default on Poe is 0.35, which seems to be fairly accurate, seems to give us pretty accurate results. Somewhere in here, there's a place to have it. Cite sources, there it is. So here's the button to cite sources, right? And then I create the bot. Handle should be, okay, I guess that's not random. All right, I mean, that's not unique. All right, how about unique name? 1, 2, 3. How's that? Is that good enough?
No,
it's not. Oh, maybe it doesn't like the spaces. Unique name. 1, 2, 3. All right. There we go. Okay, continue. Okay, so here's my bot. Now I can ask it a question. How can I become great? And the thing here is that you'll notice again, it's giving us citations from the text that we uploaded to it. Right. So that's the power here is that the way that you can handle whether it's accurate or not is you can even have your students like check like okay so it told you that it's over there so now look it up and see if it's right and tell me if it's right.
So it's give you an answer only according
to the text that right.
Can you plug in a website instead of a book?
You can tell in the prompt you can tell it to check. Yeah, so I tried that in ChatGPT. It gets a little bit more. So that's a little bit more. We'll talk about that. Okay. Any questions about this process here?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Can you do this just on ChatGPT, or do you have to go through Poe?
So we're going to do ChatGPT next. That's the next one. The thing about ChatGPT is that in order to do it on ChatGPT, and in order to have access to what you do in ChatGPT, you have to have ChatGPT Plus, which is a paid service. So it's $20 a month, I think, right now. To create it for yourself is not really a big deal, and if you're giving access in your classroom to somebody, it's not necessarily a big deal either if you got it set up in your classroom. But if you're expecting your students to do it elsewhere, you're not giving them access to your account, and you're not expecting them to pay $20 a month. So it's not particularly realistic right now, but it is the most powerful. So I'm going to sort of show it to you. If you have ChatGPT, anyone, just show of hands. How many people here have ChatGPT Plus? All right. So if you want, you can take a look at a couple of ChatGPTs that I created. Siha attempts to use the Safari website as a database for answers. It's not perfectly, because it's a website and it's going, I have to give it access to the web. So it's pretty good, but it does sometimes look at other sources too. So I'm not entirely comfortable with that one. Syntax AI does sentence diagramming based on a sentence you give it, and Cutlery knows the Aruch HaShulchan in English for. I'm not sure if it's maybe just Hilchos Shabbos. I don't remember now. If you don't have ChatGPT and you want to see like what those look like, that bottom thing will take you to two conversations that I had, one with Siha and one with Syntax AI, so you can see an example. I will pull that up here as well. So here I asked it for a Dvar Torah on the Parsha. I asked it about, here's where I asked it about making tea on Shabbos. That's one of my go-to questions, see if it knows what it's talking about. Generally actually tends to do well. And here's sentence diagramming, rain in Spain. And now, because we have like zero time left, I will quickly show you the process. But again, this is a process that requires having ChatGPT Plus. Go ahead.
If I want to talk to Gabriel Garcia Marquez.
The what?
Gabriel Garcia Marquez is a colloquial writer.
Okay, fine.
So I can create a bot.
Right.
All his work.
Right.
And then talk to him.
Yeah, and you might not even need to, because if it's someone that's famous, so most of the, and especially if it's a little bit older, most of the AIs already have it. So if you say, you know, respond in the style of, right, which is why the first, in the school AI, all you needed to do to create a historical figure was give it the name. And, right, the George Washington one, all you needed to do was tell me, was say, you know, interact with George Washington. Because we have, like, that's part of its knowledge base already. If you want to be really precise and, you know, be sure that it's only answering from those places, so then giving it the custom database is the way to go. So in ChatGPT, if you're in the ChatGPT Plus, you can just click over here on Create, and I just want to show you. We don't need to go through all of the tool, all the whole process, but the process I want to show you. The process is actually really easy because it's run by a chatbot. You open it up, and the chatbot says, "Okay, what do you want to make?" And you tell it, you tell it what you want to do, and it says, okay, what should we call it? How about this? And what can we, can I create an image for you? You like this image? And you're just conversationally doing all of that, including all of the parameters. And then when you're done, you've got the preview over here. You can sort of play around with it, and then go back over here and say, no, I don't like the way it's answering these questions. You know, I want it to answer a little bit differently. You can, if you want, go over onto this tab where it's a configure where you get to, like, you know, do these things manually. And you need to do that if you want to upload specific files. But if you want to create a bot that just has a random, that has a specific prompt and acts in a particular way, you have a lot of flexibility with a very easy bot that guides you through the process of creating it. But again, at least for the time being, this one is the one that costs money. So probably the least practical. I think that's about it for me. Any questions?
The second sharing session has ended.
There we go.
Wow.
All right. Okay. But they